trust. I want to speak with you just for a few moments this morning about trust. To define it, trust is a firm belief in the integrity, ability, or character of a person or thing, confidence or reliance. And so you and I engage trust multiple times every day, and most of the time it's probably subconscious. I trust that that chair will hold me up if I sit down in it. I trust that the car is going to get me where I need to go. There are times when there's more involved in trust. Just last week, we heard a story of the wise men, these Persian magi who saw something in the stars, and they trusted what they saw in the heavens to go out on this journey. So they must have placed quite a bit of trust in it to do it, to leave their homeland and go in search of this new king. Trust is an integral characteristic of any healthy relationship, one that we might have with a spouse or a friend, a parent with a child. We want to be able to trust one another. And it's also important as it relates to kind of the way communities work. We trust that if needed, the fire department would show up at our homes, or the police, or whatever the case may be. We place our trust in other places and organizations and those who serve. And, you know, even as I mention the fire department, I know somewhere in our minds we're thinking about those in Southern California who are suffering, and many of them don't know who they can trust. Our own staff has been affected by this, with family, friends, loved ones who have lost everything. And we'll talk a bit more about that next week, that trust erodes. Whether it's an honest mistake on somebody's behalf or selfish ambition on the other hand, it was deliberate. Whatever the situation might be, our trust can wane. And when that happens, it can affect the spiritual parts of our lives, maybe in ways that we don't fully even recognize. And I say all of that because one of the main things that is happening in our faith is that it is a matter of trust. And if we've learned to not be particularly trustful in kind of our sensory everyday lives, it can affect our ability to trust God. It just does. And just an aside, the word translated faith in our Bibles, pistis in Greek, it also means trust. So you can use that word. So trust and faith, very close. Well, today we celebrate the baptism of our Lord. And why is this significant? I don't know if you've ever asked yourself the question, why was Jesus even baptized? And it was a baptism for the repentance, for the forgiveness of sins. Well, Jesus wasn't sinning. I don't know if you've ever wondered, why was Jesus being baptized? Well, we heard Luke's version today, but in Matthew's gospel, there's an added line in there. And John the Baptist doesn't want to baptize Jesus. He says, actually, you need to baptize me. And Jesus responds by saying, I do need to be baptized by you, John. It is proper for us to fulfill all righteousness. What Jesus really is saying is, I need to show people what righteousness, this state of being in right being, that things are right. And so we've got to begin to think of the baptism of our Lord as it wasn't for his sake, it was for ours. Jesus is saying, I need you to see me do this, because I'm doing it for you, for humanity. He's very much standing in solidarity with us. You know, we acclaim Jesus to be fully God, fully man. Well, this is a time when he is being fully human. I am standing with you, and I do need to be baptized so that you see how my Father feels about you. One of my heroes in the faith is a Scottish theologian named T.F. Torrance, and he's got an essay titled "The One Baptism Common to Christ and His Church." And I want to repeat that title because it really sums it up in some ways. The one baptism common to Jesus and his church. Talking about this baptism of Jesus, we hold it in common with Jesus. And this is what he says. In fact, we just, at the beginning of our service, we said there is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, right? Well, we're not really speaking there about one baptism being there's only one way to do it with water and in the name of the Father, Son, and Spirit, although those things are important. The one baptism we're actually talking about is Jesus' baptism, because we're part of it. Listen to what T.F. says. Baptism is not a sacrament of what we do, but for what God has done for us in Jesus Christ, in whom he has bound himself to us and bound us to himself before we could ever respond to him. It is also the sacrament of what God now does by his Spirit, uniting us with Christ in his faithfulness and obedience to the Father. We just sang it in our sequence hymn about Christ's faithfulness and obedience. And we make that the ground of our faith. So what is Torrance saying? What am I saying to you? Jesus is trying to convey to us, I've done this on your behalf, and I want you to trust me. We began the sermon talking about trust, not for our sake, or not for his sake, but for our sake. Jesus saying, I've done this. Can you trust me? What is the definition? Firm belief in the integrity, ability, or character of the person. Do we believe God is of the character that we can trust him to do this for us, to rescue us, to bind himself to us before we could ever respond? That's why this feast day is so significant. Before you walked in here this morning, whatever you may think of God, Jesus in his baptism says, I've bound us together. I've done this on your behalf, and we're going to do it here in a few minutes with these young ones. So we're participating in his baptism. When we do this, we're reenacting, we're participating and saying, yes, you have done this for us, Jesus. And now these young ones, we want to show that we understand they have been bound to you and you are bound to them. It is a beautiful thing. Baptism for our sake and not for his. Well, the foundation that upholds all of that, and indeed upholds our faith, is love, the love of God for us. And my friend, who's a British theologian who now lives in Bandera, Texas, a fellow named Malcolm Smith, says there is no debate that you and I are at the center of God's affection. Do you trust that? Again, we're back to trust. Does it sound good? Do you think, yeah, maybe if I'm doing the right thing? I've kind of been nice to my brother or sister or somebody today. Yeah, then I could be at the center of God's affection. Now, this is irregardless. Have we determined that's not a real word, irregardless? Somewhere in there, just put whatever word you want in there. There is no debate that you and I are at the center of God's affection. God delights in you. God has a fire in his belly over you. Yes, this is you he is speaking of. That's why this baptism. We will see another sign of this outpouring of love at the cross, but that's not the first time. It's here. It's the incarnation. It's this baptism. God is forever trying to tell us through Jesus Christ, please trust me. I have come because I adore you. I will not leave you on the road to destruction and in the kingdom of darkness when you can't see. Whatever our challenges in life, and we all have them, one of the challenges we have is to discover the goodness of and the love of God that is infinitely greater than anything else that we face. That's the fight of faith. Can I trust? Do I really trust? Martin Luther would say at his lowest points when he was tormented by doubt in himself that he wasn't enough. Was he loved? Those dark times in the middle of the night when his head would be screaming at him that he was cursed. He would repeat to himself over and over, I am baptized. I am baptized. I am baptized. He was saying, I am part of what Jesus has done for me and I'm bound to him. It was not his righteousness that brought him comfort, but the fact that he was included in what God has done. Christ identifies with us as sinners, and he does so at his baptism. Through his sacrificial life and death on our behalf, he shows complete and utter solidarity with you and me. At our worst, he stands with us and says, "Let us be baptized." And these sacraments are earthly things for us to touch so that we can feel that it is real, the waters of baptism, the bread and the wine, which we'll have later. They are means of God's gracious coming and dwelling with us. They want to convey to us that we can participate in this drama of redemption, that we're part of it. Your name is written in the book. Whatever else our faith is, our trust is. It is our response to a response that's already been made for you. It's our response to the faithfulness and obedience of Jesus, who says, you are loved, and I am the author and perfecter of your faith. Trust me. Amen.